You know, if you were corresponding with somebody about a certain subject and they had written 66 letters to you and you wanted to know what their current thinking on the subject was, you probably wouldn't go back to the first letter. You'd probably read the 66th letter to see what their current thinking is all about on that subject that you were writing to each other about. Well, in God's case, He's consistent. He said in the first piece of correspondence the same thing that He said in the last piece of correspondence. He said the same thing in the book of Genesis that He said in the book of Revelation. In the book of Genesis, though, He used a lot of pictures. He used a lot of things that pictured what Jesus was going to do for us. In the book of Revelation, the message is very clear and more direct. So important. In fact, the Bible says, we read it there in verse 18, said, don't take anything out of this book. You take anything out of this book, and God's going to add the plagues to you that are written in this book to your life if you take anything out. We didn't read verse 19, but that verse says, don't take anything out of it. Verse 18, don't add anything to it. Verse 19, don't take anything out of it. There's dire consequence. He said He'd remove you out of the book of life if you took something out of the book of Revelation. Verse 17 is our text verse this morning where the Bible says, And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I have a simple message this morning. I have less time on the first Sunday of the month because of the Lord's Supper, so I want you to listen closely and quickly. I want you to notice who says come, and then I want you to notice who is to come. It's a wonderful thing to read in the Bible and to know that God sent Jesus to live among us. It's a wonderful thing to know that when He lived among us, that He lived a perfect life. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. It's a wonderful thing to know and to read in the Bible that Jesus gave that perfect life as payment for our sins. He committed no sin. No sin of commission, no sin of omission. Everything that He did was pleasing to His Father, was pleasing to God. But Jesus took that perfect life and gave it on Calvary's cross, like we pictured in the Lord's Supper a moment ago, as payment for our sins. He was buried. He laid in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And it's a wonderful thing that we can read in the Bible and know that after 3 days and 3 nights, He was resurrected. He came back to life. And that's the good news of this book. That's the good news of the Bible from the book of Genesis, Exodus, all the way through the book of Revelation. The good news is that we were sinners. And because of our sin, we were under the condemnation, the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is death, separation from God. The good news of this book is, though, even though we were headed for hell and couldn't do anything about it, that the virgin-born, perfect Son of God died for our sin, was buried for our sin, rose for our sin. And if I come and accept that, if you come and accept the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of your sins, that God will not only forgive all your sins, He'll forget them, He'll dress you in the righteousness of His Son, and you can stand before God justified just as if you've never sinned. And that's the good news of this book. And it runs from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. It hasn't changed one bit from the time that God designed it before He laid the foundation of the earth, a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. It hasn't changed one bit since God designed it. It hasn't changed one bit since Jesus died in our place. And it will never change for all eternity. We will worship the resurrected Lamb of God in heaven. But it doesn't stop there. It's wonderful who invites us to come. Come to that salvation. Come to that Savior. We read verse 17 and it starts out, and the Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, The one who came to earth when Jesus went back to heaven. The one who, as part of the Godhead, is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. The Holy Spirit, listen to this, the Holy Spirit comes to every sinner. The Holy Spirit comes to every sinner. God's no respecter of persons. He's not willing that any should perish. So the Holy Spirit comes to every sinner and says, come. Come. Come to Jesus. He comes and tells us that we're a sinner. He comes and reminds us that there's a penalty for that sin. He comes and woos us. Now, I know some of you have been married a long time and you forgot the wonderful wooer that your husband was when he convinced you. You still remember that, Crystal? Yes? She's smiling. But some of you might have forgotten what a wonderful wooer your husband was when he came and convinced you to marry him. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He comes, the Bible says, uses that word. He woos us to the Savior. You see, in our sins, we were dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Things of God didn't mean anything to us. They were foolishness. No effect on us. But the Spirit of God comes. The Holy Spirit of God said, listen, you need to listen. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. You're going to be separated from God, your Creator God, forever. You're going to go to that place called hell. But I want you to know, and this is what the Holy Spirit says to us. He whispers in that still small voice, Jesus, like Marianne sang a moment ago, Jesus loves you. Amen. He died for you. On the cross, he took all of your sin and he paid for every one of them. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. That's true of every sinner. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes and tells us. Jesus loves you. He died for your sin. And if you come to him, if you receive him, you can be made a child of God. Your sins will be forgiven. You can stand before God justified. You can reserve a home in heaven, but you need to come. So the Holy Spirit says, come. And then notice what that verse says. And the bride says, come. The bride is the church. The bride are Christians. The ones that have been called out make up the church. One day, the Bible says, we'll be the bride of Christ. Here's what the bride says. And when I'm talking about the bride, I'm talking about all of us. All of us that have been saved. All of us who have washed in the blood, like we sang about a moment ago, and our sins were washed away. The church, the bride, says, come. And we do it from experience. We say, hey, we came. We came to Jesus. We tried it. We put our faith and trust in him. We did what this book said. We believed what this book said. And we did exactly what the book said. And I mean, we want to tell you, it works. It works. It works. It's not just a fable. It's just not something that somebody made up. It's something that God said. And we've tried it. The bride says, we've tried it. And the bride says, hey, it works. It worked for me. It will work for you. I feel like Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. If anybody didn't deserve to be saved, it was me. And yet God loved me enough to take all of my sin upon himself, go to Calvary's cross and die for that sin and pay for it. And so I am part of that bride this morning that says, come, come. You come to Jesus, you'll never regret it. You come to Jesus, he'll forgive and wash away your sin. You come to Jesus and he'll make you a child of God. You come to Jesus and your life will never, ever be the same. Amen. Never, ever be the same. Be a Christian. Be a Christian. Let people see Jesus in you. Let them see the change that he made in your life. Let them see that Christianity, believing in Jesus Christ, really does work. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That needs to be our message. That's why we're here. We're to take the gospel to every creature as part of the bride. We're to say, come, come, come. We came It works. It works. You come. So that verse says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then notice what it says next. And let him that heareth say, come. What that phrase encompasses are people that have heard the gospel but haven't received it yet. They're somewhere between that point of hearing it for the first time and getting to that point that they receive it, but they haven't received it yet. They're still on that road of decision. They're still contemplating and considering what the claims of the gospel. And so I can just see them lined up. One of the things that Patty and I did on our trip, we went in this old irrigation ditch. They dug it. It's all handmade. They dug it to water the pineapple plantations. And it's filled with about, I don't know, a couple, 3 feet of water. And they put you on inner tubes. And you sit on those inner tubes, and the water runs through the ditch and carries you down this ditch. And you bounce off the walls. There's five tunnels. One of the tunnels is a mile long. They put a little headlight on your head so you can see as you go through these tunnels. But they told us before we started, they said, now, before we start, we're going to be spread out. The inner tubes are not going to be together. And when we give you a direction, we need you to pass it down the line. If we say, we're about to go into a tunnel, and turn on your light, you call it out to the person behind you, turn on your light. If there's a left or a right turn, you need to be ready for it. And so turn right, turn right, turn right, turn left, turn left. You can hear the instructions going down the line. That's what this verse is saying. By the way, if you want to hear how much fun Patty had on that, you have to ask her, because I swore I would not say anything about it. And I'm not. But that's what happened. And that's what this phrase of the verse means. Here's people that have heard the gospel. They haven't received it yet. They're on their way to receiving it. And they're looking to the people that behind them. Hey, come. Come. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. And the closer I get, the better it looks. Come. 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 So the bride says, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Now, who's to come? Notice quickly, him that is athirst. Him that is athirst is the person to come. Who's that? That's anybody that hasn't received Christ. That's anybody that still has a spot in their life that has gone unsatisfied by the things of the world. You see, when God made us, he put into every soul, into every person, a desire to have a relationship with their Creator. Every person has that. That's why you hear about these people in the deepest unknown parts of the world that have never had a missionary, never had had anybody tell them about God, and yet they worship some god. In the book of Romans, the Bible says that nature declares that there is a God. And so God put into every person a part of us that desires to have a relationship with him. Without that relationship, there's something missing in our lives. There's an empty spot in our life. We try to fill it with things of the world. We try to fill it with things that the world's offering. So, and Solomon talked about it. We try to fill it with pleasure, and we try to fill it with possessions, and we try to fill it with other things. But as we do that, we come to the same conclusion that he did. He said, I tried all those things in all his vanity and vexation of spirit. And what he said there in the book of Ecclesiastes is, and he wrote it in the end, he said, I've studied and I've come to this conclusion. There's only one thing that will satisfy that thirst that God put into every person, and that's a relationship with him. Amen. And that relationship only comes about through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God but by him. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, whether you realize it or not, I don't know where you are on this road. Maybe you're hearing the gospel for the first time. Maybe you're on that way to receiving it. But let me say to you as a member of the bride, let the Holy Spirit say to you, and let those that are on that road with you say to you, come, come.
You have a thirst that nothing in the world can satisfy. You have a thirst that only God can satisfy. And the only thing that can satisfy that thirst is to drink from the well that Jesus talked to the woman about in John chapter 4. He said, you drink of Jacob's well here, you're going to thirst again. But you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. If you come to Jesus Christ this morning, He'll fill that emptiness in your life. He'll give you a relationship with God, your Creator, and you can stand before Him as one of His children. So come, come, come. Now, you might say, preacher, what kind of qualifications do I have to come? Well, let me tell you, you meet the qualifications. You meet the qualifications. You say, well, you don't even know anything about me. I don't need to know anything about you. You meet the qualifications. Here's the qualification. Whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever will may come. You meet those qualifications. You don't have to do something to come. You don't have to be something to come. You don't have to pay something to come. Whosoever, that includes all of us. I'm glad it included me. I'm glad it included many people in this room. Whosoever will may come. That includes you. You meet the qualifications. All you got to do is come. You see, it's your choice. It's a decision of your will. People are lost and on their way to hell this morning, not because of anything that God's done, because they have decided not to receive Jesus Christ. This morning, as a member of the bride, I join the Holy Spirit and those that are on their way to receiving Christ to say to every whosoever in this room that's never come to Jesus, come, come, come. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. It's the best decision that you'll ever make in your whole life. He paid the price. He paid everything that we owed. All we have to do is come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you thank you that you said the same thing in the book of Genesis, through every book of the Bible, and in the book of Revelation. And you invite us to come to Jesus. And I pray for those in the room this morning that have never done that. They've never received Christ. They've never partaken of that water that flows, that will satisfy our eternal thirst. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them of their sin, that you would woo them to the only one that could help. You would woo them to Jesus Christ. And that they would consider what God has done for them. And as they consider and think about that, that they would make that decision to come to Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray we'll never grow tired of hearing what Jesus did for us. Never grow tired of being reminded how great our salvation is and the price that was paid for us. And so I pray, as we've heard it again, that you'll draw us closer to our Savior. We'll make some fresh vows to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll take all the barriers away that we put up to the Holy Spirit from filling us. And we'll live the Christian life in a way that would be pleasing to you. So speak to all of our hearts this morning, to the unsaved, to the saved. Help us to do what we need to do this morning, to receive Christ, to yield more to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're talking to somebody about baptism, maybe about somebody about joining the church. I pray we'd listen and we'd be obedient this morning. And so, Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. You speak. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.